This will be a short lecture on Dr. Gray Morning's ASLA method using the pictures that we just practiced as examples. The ASLA method stands for Accelerated Second Language Acquisition, which doesn't really mean much, it's just a name. So I always refer to it by its abbreviation, ASLA. I first learned this method directly from Dr. Gray Morning in 2009, when I attended his workshop at the University of Montana. Nyakit Stephen Gray Morning is an Arapaho man and a professor at the University of Montana in Missoula. He's a speaker of Arapaho, and he developed this method in order to teach Arapaho. The most important characteristics of this method, which I think some of you have tried before, is that it's purely oral, at least at the beginning. So he does not use writing. He only uses speech, listening, and pictures. He uses a lot of pictures. So the purpose of the pictures is to help make the meaning clear and also to give us interesting things to talk about that wouldn't otherwise come up. Entertaining and interesting pictures can help maintain the learner's interest, and they also give us more things to talk about. The number of words that Dr. Gray Morning starts with is small, but the number of sentences that we learn to make quickly becomes large. So this is another one of the features of this method that I really like. I like that it's oral, I like that the pictures make it clear, and I like that we quickly get into building sentences, because this is something that's lacking in many methods and many programs. At the beginning level, Dr. Gray Morning recommends that we start with four people words, Bagwanam, Babagwam, Tzadak, Tzatzadagam. Four vehicle words, which will probably be Huakwana, Patla, Kilhilsla, and what do we call a speedboat in Likwala? Diana wants to say Yayatsi. We don't have to settle that now, but in West Coast, those are the four vehicles I use: canoe, speedboat, car, truck, airplane. Four animals. Which animals you pick will depend on who your learners are, but the ones I like to use usually are eagle, black bear, and fish, if you have a generic word for fish. West Coast languages actually don't have a generic word for fish. Each species has its own name. So I usually use spring salmon, just because it's the biggest salmon. It's easy to see, easy to find pictures of it. Likwala does have a generic word for fish, which is kutala. Is that right? Kutala can be any fish. And Likwala people say guta. Kuta, okay. Mm-hmm. But same word, eh? Kuta, kutala. So more words will come along soon, but this is what we start with, the four people words, man, woman, boy, girl, and a small number of verbs. When you introduce new words, I generally like to introduce two words at a time and about four words a day. Usually that's my rule of thumb for how fast learners can learn. I find it's psychologically a good idea to teach two words at the same time, because people can compare them. And that is a psychological trick that helps some people learn the words faster and also understand what they mean. Then you can add two more and two more. Some learners can handle more than four words a day, but I think four words a day is a good rule of thumb. So we might imagine that on our very first day of teaching beginning learners in Likwala, we'll use just the nouns Bagwanam and Tzadak, and just the action words Kasa and Yehwa. That's a great place to start. Bagwanam, Tzadak, Kasa, Yehwa. With those four words, we'll be able to make for about six different sentences, I think. And those sentences are Yehuch, Yehuch da Tzedakich, Yehuch da Begwanimch, Kasuch, Kasuch da Begwanimch, Kasuch da Tzedakich. That's six sentences out of four words. Now, I gave you a brief introduction to aspect this morning. Likwala has four or five aspects that we have to worry about, and the two main ones for now I'm calling continuous and complete. Take the word for walking. Qasa is the continuous form. Qas'id is the complete form. The continuous form qasa means walking without beginning or end. That doesn't mean that the person or thing didn't start walking and that it won't stop walking, but rather that we're not concerned with when it started walking or when it's going to finish because it's still right in the middle of it. That's what qasa means, the continuous form, walking without beginning or end. The complete form, qas'id, describes a complete action. But importantly, it has two possible interpretations, both of which are complete. One interpretation is that it's over with. So walked, walk and be done. This would be the case with the sentence qas iduch. He walked and he's finished now. Qas iduch. But qas id can also mean start walking. So the complete form means start doing or do and be done. And usually we have to tell by context which one is intended. The continuous form means something like doing without beginning or end. At the very first level of the ASLA method, we will be describing what people are doing in pictures. We're speaking of them in the present tense. We're talking about what they are doing right now. Therefore, we will be speaking about them as being in the middle of an action. So the form we want is the continuous form, qasa or yehwa. Later, we'll also start learning when to use the complete forms, qas'id and yehwid. Now, there are some important details of the method that I will not be going into here. They're kind of obvious, especially to experienced language teachers. I'll quickly review some of them here, but I won't spend much time on them. First of all, the method is oral, so we want to teach words using only speech and pictures. We're going to avoid translating with English, and we're going to avoid writing. I am not strictly against writing. I think that writing is a very powerful tool. Writing is easy to abuse, however. We all know many people who are so literate that they find it difficult to leave writing behind. This is a big problem for a lot of learners. So starting people orally is a good way to train them right off the bat that they don't need writing to speak. Another important part of the method is that with pictures, we can even teach new words without English. So, as long as I have a useful picture, you'll understand what I mean. Imagine that you don't know any Likwala yet. I put up this picture and I say, Casa, Casa. You have no idea what I'm referring to. Do I mean child, boy, girl, bear? Hapmap, Hapmap. Do I mean eating? Do I mean flying? I can make it clear which picture I mean by pointing. Pointing is used a lot in the method. After we see enough pictures of walking, casa, casa, it starts to become clear to the learner what casa means. I can also compare it to a similar word like zelchwa, zelchwa, zelchuchta'ich. The bear is running. Zelchuchta t'la'ich. Kasuchta t'la'ich. Kasuchta t'la'ich. Actually, that bear is standing, so this isn't the best one to use for that, eh? Kasuchta babagwamch. Kasuchta babagwamch. And I'm pointing at the lower left picture. The point is that Dr. Gray Morning likes to teach not only without writing but without English, and it can be done especially with pictures. In the chat window, I've given you sentence frames for ASLA level 1. ASLA level 1 consists of only three sentence frames for Liquala. Our question will be Wigiluchta, Wigiluchtatlaich, Wigiluchta Bagwanam, Wigiluchtatzedakech. And we can reply with a one-word sentence, Kasuch, he or she is walking, Yechuch, he or she is dancing, or with a two-word sentence, Yechuchta Tzedakech, the woman is dancing, Kasuchta Bagwanamch, the man is walking. Now, these might seem like very simple sentences. Why are we reviewing these? Because there's even with some sentences as simple as these, there is a lot to know. For one thing, we are trying to keep it simple by starting with continuous aspect forms and D2 determiners. So we're leaving out D3 and D1 for now. Those will come along later. I mentioned that one good reason for starting with D2 rather than D3 is that D3 determiners lack that DP internal bit, the ch on bagwanamch, but the D2 ones do have it. And if you start with D3, a lot of learners will never start to pay attention to the DP internal determiner. But if you start with D2 and teach them right off the bat, bagwanamch, bagwanamch, they'll know they have to listen for that. There's also whether or not we use a da. We talked about this has to do with whether the noun we use is a common noun or a proper noun. Those are some of the complex considerations that go into even these simple sentence frames. The most important skill for the teacher when using a method like this is sensing where the learner is at. How many new words can I introduce today? Does he get these well enough now that I can add two more words? Or do I need to keep repeating these? Does he get what casa means now, even though I haven't explained it in English? That's the most important skill, and it's impossible to teach. Good teachers pick that stuff up, and it's hard to explain how to do it. You learn through practice. But almost as important as those personal skills are the planning skills. In what order am I going to start introducing more complex sentences? I suggest that the next level you want to introduce after you've taught the simple sentences like Yehuch and Yehuchta Tzedakech, the next thing you want to introduce is plural. So in Likwala, nouns have plural forms, just like in English. English man, men. Likwala, bagwanam, bi bagwanam. But in addition to that, verbs can be pluralized in Liquala. And this will be a challenge for English speakers. So to say that the women are dancing, we would usually say, Yehuchta tzidakech. Yehuchta tzidakech. The women are dancing. If we just say they're dancing, we can say Yehuch. That can mean she's dancing or they're dancing. So I believe Liquala is comfortable with that ambiguity. But if we want to make it clear that it's plural, we would say Yehuachdachuch. Yehuachdachuch. They are dancing. Diana and I talked a little bit the other day about whether it sounds better to have redundant pluralization in a sentence like Yehuachdachuchta tzidakech, the women are dancing, or if it sounds better to just pluralize the noun. And Diana's judgment is that it sounds better and more natural to pluralize only the noun. So if there's a noun, we pluralize the noun. If there's no noun, then we pluralize the verb. They are dancing. The redundant sentence is possible, but not preferred. Diana, do you have anything to add to that? Here's the next level. At the next level, we add simple yes/no questions and negation. So now we want to ask things like, "Yehuoch da tzedakech," is the woman dancing? "Yehuoch da tzedakech," and we want to be able to answer with a negative sentence. "Kitzuch yehuah," she is not dancing. "Kasuch," she's walking. "Kitzuch yehuah." The formation of negation in Liquala is pretty simple. We just use the helping verb kis or is before the main verb, The formation of questions is difficult. There's a lot to say about questions, but the basics are you make a question in Lingua either by using a question root like we or wida or mas, or by using a question ending. And in the question, Yahuwah och dat tzedakech, is the woman dancing? Yahuwah och dat tzedakech. We know that's a question because of the question ending, which in this case is roughly schwa glottal stop o. Yahuwah och dat tzedakech. It gets significantly more complicated than that, but those are the basics for forming negated sentences and questions. I think I might be able to answer this question, partly because I'm a phonologist and this is a phonological question. So we're talking about the DP internal determiner, which is the D21 is a back X. So for example, the man is dancing, it's marked just with the back X, but the woman is dancing, it's ich, tzedakech. So when do we pronounce that extra vowel? That in my sentence frames, I've written that I in brackets to show that it's sometimes pronounced and sometimes not. It's pronounced according to a very regular rule. We do not require that short I after a vowel or resonant consonant. The resonant consonants are M, N, and L. Those are the most vowel-like consonants. They're singable. So after vowels and resonant consonants, we don't need that vowel, and we just say Baguanamch, Obamach, Adamch, Danach. But after any other consonants, so K, Q, T, lambda, anything, we will pronounce that vowel. I'm going to introduce one more level to you, and I think some of us might get to this today in our second practice period. So I've given you this will be the fourth level that I've introduced. So the very basic level, we just made simple sentences like Wigiluchta Baguanamch Yehuch. At level two, we added plurals Yehuchta Bibaguanamch Yehuachta. At level three, we added questions and negation. Kasa ochta baguanamch. Kisuch kasa. Yehuch. He's not walking, he's dancing. The fourth level, we're going to add transitive verbs. Transitive verbs are verbs that take an object. And some of our first words that do this are dasla, holding, humutla, watching, and tsamasa, pointing at. The technical term for verbs like this is transitive. That's opposed to intransitive. So kasa and yihua, walking and dancing, are examples of intransitive verbs. In other words, they have only one participant. When we talk about walking, there's one participant, a person or a thing walking. When we talk about dancing, yihua, there's only one person or thing dancing. It's not something you do to something else. Compare that to holding, watching, and pointing at. These are things that one participant does to another. So these are two participant verbs. For example, the boy is holding a fish. The boy is pointing at the moon. These sentences have two participants. Linguists call those verbs transitive. Now, transitivity in Kwakwala is not simple at all. Because Kwakwala has case. Kwakwala has two cases for objects. When we talk about a transitive sentence, like the boy is pointing at the moon or the boy is holding a fish, the boy is the subject and the fish or the moon is the object. The subject is the most important participant and it's the one that appears first in both English and Lingua. The object is a less important participant and the one that is done to, and it usually appears second in both English and Lingua. Now, if you look at the latest sentence frames I put in the chat window, These are some frames for adding objects to sentences. So, tsamatha is a good example to start with because tsamatha, pointing, can be used both intransitively and transitively. In the picture of the boy pointing, we can just say tsamathuhta babaguamh, period. The boy is pointing. Tsamathuhta babaguamh. Tsamatha works fine in a one participant sentence, but we can also add a participant. When Diane and I were talking about this earlier, one of the examples she came up with was the boy is pointing at the moon, because this is a traditional saying. I'm going to avoid that for now because when we say the boy is pointing at the moon, the boy will be D2 and the moon will be D3. And I don't want to start with that. So when I first introduce the learners to transitive sentences, I still want to keep everything D2. So what I want is a picture where the subject and the object are both in the picture. For example, the boy is pointing at the bear. I don't have a picture like that, so I'm going to ask you to imagine it. Tsamathuhta babaguam hwa tlaich. Tsamathuhta babaguam hwa. So what I've done is I've added one of these sentence frames to one of the simpler sentence frames that I was using earlier. The sentence frames that I just frame that I just used was hua ta'ich, hua ta'ich. Do you see that sentence frame in the chat window? Now I'm going to spend a few minutes comparing these different frames. Under transitive verbs, I gave you five different frames. So those frames roughly are Obama, Hochta Tlaich, Hwa Tlaich, S Tlaich, Suchta Tlaich. When we say the boy is pointing at the bear and they're both in the picture, the one we want is the second or third one. We can say Tsamathuchta Babaguam Hochta Tlaich or either one of those, because both of those are a D2 determiner phrase plus the X case at the beginning. Yeah, so to repeat, when I say the boy's pointing at the bear and they're both in the picture, and if you can tell by the fact that I'm struggling to put out this sentence, even this simple sentence is quite a challenge for me to say in Lekwala because of all the things I'm having to keep in my mind. I'm deciding that both participants are D2. I'm keep remembering that tsamatha takes the X case rather than the S case. And I'm deciding that that bear is a common noun, not a proper noun, and that I'm going to say huchta rather than hua, because I could use either one. I could say huchta tlaich or hua tlaich. Now, I said that huchta and hua are the X case. The technical term for the X case is accusative. Accusative is a technical term, but it's one of these technical terms that I think we're going to want to learn just because it's so useful for describing Likwala. The other important object case for us is the instrumental case. That's the S case. Let me give you an example of the S case. I think that'll make it a little easier to talk about. So here's an example of the S case. Bosa gyukti. Bosa gyukti. Actually, a little better than that is bowuntlasigyuktsi. Bowuntlasigyuktsi. I left the big house. Bowuntlasigyuktsi. The verb bo means to leave a place. And the verb bo happens to take the S case. The technical term for this is instrumental. And X case and S case are not ideal terms, partly because different alphabets can sometimes write these sounds with different letters. So naming them by the letter is not the best strategy. Also, X and S sound similar enough that one can easily mishear it, whereas accusative and instrumental are impossible to confuse with each other. They are strange sounding words at first. They're not everyday words, accusative and instrumental, but they're so useful for describing liquela that I think you will quickly get used to them. So we're going to refer to the S case as in Bowen Klasa Gyuktsi, I left the big house, as the instrumental case. S case is instrumental. And we're going to refer to the X case as in Tsamathuchta Baba Gwamhwa Plaich. The X case, we're going to refer to that as accusative. One thing that we have to learn about these two verbs, tsamathla, pointing, and bo, leave, is that when bo takes an object, its object is in the instrumental case. That is, it starts with an S. When tsamathla takes an object, its object is in the X case, the accusative case. So its object will start with an X. And for every single transitive verb in the language, we have to memorize which case it uses. Now, the three basic transitive verbs that I mentioned a few minutes ago, datha, tsamatha, and humutha, all take the accusative. So for all of these, we're going to use chukta or hwa. For example, humutlan tlacha humualatsi. I'm watching the TV. Humutha, watching, takes ch. So that's where the ch is coming from in tlacha. I'm watching TV. Humutlan tlachuchta humualatsich. Now we're going to do a little bit of analysis of these endings, and then I'm going to let you practice some more. So we're going to be doing a lot more work on determiners. Liquid determiners are quite complex because they have several meaningful parts. So there's the case part, which is an X or an S or nothing. Then there's the distance part, which is gya or uch or i or nothing. And then there's the definiteness part. That's the a or da, which we use with common nouns but not with proper nouns. Then there's the DP internal part, which is front X, h, or back X, h, or nothing, or sometimes a vowel. So these are all different meaningful parts, and they vary for different reasons. So distance depends on where the things are relative to the speaker. Definiteness depends on whether we're talking about common nouns or names. Case varies depending on which case this particular verb uses. Let's just look at the five frames that I gave you for level four. So those frames, I'll say them again, are. And I see that I already made a mistake. The first one should be huch, huch obamach, huch obamach. So, for example, tsamathlan tlachuch obamach. I'm pointing at Obama here. Tsamathlan tlachuch obamach. The second one is huchta, huchta tlaich. Tsamathlan tlachuchta tlaich. I'm pointing at the bear here. So the difference between the first frame and the second frame is that the first frame is for names, second one's for common nouns. What about hwa? Tsamathlan tlachwa taich. This one is widely misunderstood. Hwa is the same as chuchta. This is very important to know. Hwa is the same as chuchta. Hwa is not the same as uchta. So uchta cannot has to be uchta. For example, tsamathuchta baba gwampach, the boy is pointing. That has to be uchta. But chuchta is for an object. Tsamathuchta baba gwampach chuchta tlaich. That chuchta tlaich marks the object of the verb, the thing that is being pointed at. And that can be replaced by hwa. Chuchta can be simplified down to hwa. Tsamathuchta baba gwampach hwa tlaich. So, in other words, hwa is a contraction of chuchta. It's kind of like didn't in English. Didn't in English is a contraction of did not. So, in this analogy, chuchta is like did not, hwa is like didn't. So, we just had a question. When I said tsamathlan tlachwa I use sort of the full long form, including the connector tla that we sometimes get after un. Tsamathlan tlachwa tlaich. The question is, can we say that without the connector? Tsamathlan hwa tlaich. And the answer is yes. That is very common today. That is not common in the language of the Boaz Hunt text. So the Boaz Hunt texts are conservative Kwakwala, and there we usually get those connectors. But in modern Kwakwala, those connectors are often dropped. The ending for I, we usually think of as un, but it's actually untla. It's untla, but the tla part is only pronounced when another ending follows it. So I'm pointing is just tsamathan, but I'm pointing at that is tsamathan tlach. Tsamathan tlach. This tla is also widely misunderstood. A lot of people think it's a separate word, but can't say what it means because, in fact, it doesn't mean anything. We can compare this to the words and un in English. So I have a cat, I have an animal. With a cat, the English word is just a, but with an animal, the word is un. This is determined by whether the following word starts in a vowel or not. So if the following word starts in a vowel, we say an animal. But if it starts in a consonant in English, we say a cat. That N is completely meaningless. Its pronunciation is completely determined by the sound of the word. And that is the same with untla. The tla and untla is meaningless, and it's only pronounced when because something follows it. So it has to do with pronunciation, not with meaning. A similar case is that the ending us, which means you, like humutlas, you're watching, also has a connector at the end, which is i, humutlasi, which is only pronounced when something follows. You're watching the TV, humutlasi hua. You're watching, humutlas. You're watching the TV, humu tlasikhwa humualatsikh. And that connector too is typically pronounced in the Boaz Hunt texts, but frequently dropped today. So to summarize now what I've said about determiners, I've just downloaded a lot of material, a lot of information to you about determiners, not all of which will make sense at the moment. But for now, the method that I am proposing to you to practice to teach the determiners and to learn them yourself is to rely on these frames and learn, for example, that hukta, hukta tla'ich, and hua tla'ich are the same, mean the same thing. They're just two ways of saying the same thing. One is simply more contracted than the other, whereas huch obamach is importantly different because huch obamach lacks the bit that goes with common nouns, whereas huchta tla'ich and hua tla'ich, that would only be used with a common noun. I will not say any more about the instrumental determiners yet. We'll get to those eventually. He'em.